Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1. 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 reads this way. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to worship you in truth and by your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, that you would be glorified, Lord, and that we would understand the salvation that you've given to us and the grace that you've given to us and the mercy that you've given to us to a greater degree, that we might truly be your lights and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be, and that we might experience your will being fulfilled in and through our lives. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is found there in our text, and it's Fill Thine Horn with Oil and Go. Fill thine horn with oil and go. That's easily said. Many times we need to be reminded about that. But as we consider our text tonight, we'll take note of two questions concerning spiritual insight or our personal walk with God. That's spiritual insight. We need God's spiritual insight in order to have a walk with the Lord. And then we'll focus on three truths that will help us to grow in the faith that God has given to us. God is the one that planted the seed. God is the one. He uses human instrumentality, but he's the one that makes it bring forth fruit, right? And then more fruit, and then much fruit. And so we'll take notice of these three truths here as we look to our text. First, I want you to notice the two questions here. And we'll begin with the first one in verse 1 of chapter 16. And notice what the Lord says to Samuel. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul? How long are you going to sit here, is what God is saying. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we need to get up and get going, right? With the Lord, get up and get going. A lot of times we can take a look at something in our lives that has caused us to be dismayed. Something that can enter into our life that could cause us to not move forward for the Lord, and that happens. And the Lord is aware of that, and he is the one that can help us with those things because he's merciful and gracious and very kind and very long-suffering. And so remember who your God is. He's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. The world would have you believe that there's a different God in the Old Testament and a new God in the New Testament. That's not the truth. And if God's people start preaching that, they need to take heed and be careful lest they think they're standing and proclaiming the truth. They're preaching another gospel because our God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there was the dispensation of the law, and that's where the children of God were given at that particular time. And now the law was fulfilled. Remember what Jesus said? I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So he's fulfilled the law. God never fulfills anything that's bad. The law, there was nothing ever bad in the law. It proclaimed the righteousness of God, and it helped us to see that we fall short of the righteousness of God. But now in the grace of God, we're empowered to move forward. By the way, listen, so was Samuel, so was David, so was Abraham, so was Joseph, so was Daniel, and oh my goodness, the list can go on and on. And so our God never changes. It will always be the grace of God that makes the difference in the life of the believer. And so as we consider this, we find Samuel here. His heart went out for King Saul, and he had a lot of high hopes for him, but God understood what was going to happen, and really the people of God had turned away from their God and wanted a king like all the other nations. Not that God wasn't going to do that, but they really stepped out in front of the Lord and caused themselves some problems, and we'll always do that. And then also, listen, we can either get so anxious that we get out in front of the Lord, and that can cause problems, or we can sit still and not follow the Lord, and that too will cause problems. So where's the best place to be? Following the Savior, walking with him, and adhering to what he's commanded that we might do it by his grace and power and watch it being fulfilled. We worship in the Lord, and the world looks on, and the Lord is glorified. So verse 1 again. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? So there's Samuel, and he's upset about it and hurt over it. And he says, now listen, you already know what I've done. In fact, I don't need to back you up there in chapter 15 when Samuel told King Saul in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So this is not something new to Samuel. He knew that Saul had been rejected from being the king, but he's not moving anywhere. He's sitting still. And so the Lord in his mercy and grace approaches him and says, now, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for him? How long are you going to stand still? I'm not done with you, and I'm not done with Israel. Amen? I still have a plan. I still have a purpose. And sometimes we can be dismayed at certain events that take place, certain things that people say in the media, and we can get focused on those things and lose sight of our God and not move for him. And in fact, maybe we start moving because the world starts to tell us things, and we start acting like the world and forget that we're in it, but we're not of it. And what that means is that we're not supposed to be carried away with all their stories and all their news and all their hoopla, whether it be for pleasure or enjoyment, or whether it be for fear and danger. Those things are not to move us. Why? Because the child of God must understand this truth, and we can weave in and out of it, that God holds us where? Let's try that again. God holds us where? In his hands. Amen? In his hands. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so I'm sure in this particular case, Samuel was devastated, and the Lord is saying, okay, it's time to move forward. And so he says, I want you to go to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And then notice the next question. That was the first question from God. Now we get the next question from Samuel in verse 2. Samuel said, what? How can I go? How can I go? Now let's look and see where Samuel's eyes are at. Ready? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. He's listening to that evening news again. Amen. he's listening to the internet and what it's got to say, and neglected the word of God. And so anyway, here it is. He's if Saul hear it, he'll kill me. Now, did Samuel know that, or did he think that? He thought that. Now I'm not saying Saul may have not had it in for him. He may have understood that as well, but he did forget that he was in God's hands, didn't he? And we can too. And this is a prophet of God, so it's important for us to take note of that. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now stop right there. What is all that about? God knew what Samuel needed to hear to move forward. All right? So Samuel, here's what you're going to do. You are going to tell the people of the Bethlehemites there that you're coming to sacrifice unto the Lord. And that being a high holy thing, that special concessions were made for that, and special regard was paid for that, and to that here by these people. And so he thought, you know, that's a good idea. If I am going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord, the people will have a high respect for that. And nobody would side at this particular point in the life of King Saul. None of the people would stop a prophet from fulfilling a sacrifice to the Lord, because that's what they were all about. They still had a respect. The people still had a respect for God. And maybe Samuel thought, surely King Saul would not threaten my life as I'm doing the Lord's bidding and the Lord's work. And so the Lord knew exactly what he needed to tell him to motivate him. And the Lord knows what we need to hear as well. But there's some interesting things here. The Lord will work in our natural realm to swing us over to the spiritual realm. He will console the natural realm. He will meet us where we're at, but he does not want us to continue to operate in the natural realm. He is trying to move you and I from the natural thinking to the spiritual thinking, that we might understand him, our God, to a greater degree, and that we would not fear what the world or what the lost man or what the worldly man might try to put into your life or mine, but that we would stand faithfully to the Lord by the grace and mercy of God. And so God is in a work here, not only to provide himself a king, but after his own heart, but also to work with his prophet and his people, and also a lesson for you and I tonight to move closer to the spiritual realm and to a place where the natural realm will have no effect, where we will just see that as the Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean by that? The Wizard of Oz was this big mystical thing breathing fire and all that kind of stuff. And then at the end of the story, you know what happened? They saw what was behind the curtain. And it was an older fellow there pulling levers and ropes and different things, trying to make all this big threatening, scary thing that was really a paper dragon, wasn't it? Or a paper tiger. And so likewise, really, the world is not a threat to you and I. Why? Because God holds us in his hands, and the best is on the horizon for you and I after this life. And we will trust the Lord that he will not take us home until he's ready to bring us home. And what better place to be than with the Lord? And so here's the situation. He is working with Samuel to bringing him around. Verse 2 again, and Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord." So what happens here? Verse 3, "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." So this is not just a put on. The Lord had already planned this out. He just told him to go. And then he says, "How can I go?" And he says, "Well, okay, here's how you can go. I'm going to tell you the rest of my plan." This sacrifice was planned out because this sacrifice was important to be made to anoint the next king of Israel. So this was not something really that was being done specially, although it did include Samuel in mind, but this was already in God's plan. He just hadn't revealed it to Samuel yet because Samuel was looking to his fears instead of to his God. And so God says, okay, let me give you a little bit more of the plan, a little bit more of the story of what we're getting ready to do. So we're going to go ahead and make this sacrifice because we're going to anoint the next king. Now listen, how do you think Saul would have thought about if Samuel was not only going to do a sacrifice, but he was going to anoint the next king? That would have caused maybe a little more trouble for him, wouldn't it? But see, he's going to do a sacrifice, so that's okay. He knows there's a respect for that, but at the same time, he's going to do something that is against King Saul, but for God. Now, this is important because when we serve God, I promise you, you are going against the world, because the devil, Satan, is the prince and the power of the air of this world. And God has to give us the grace and the mercy to do it in such a way that it will glorify him and not be something that we do in the natural realm. Okay, now this is we're going to get you back for this. That's not the mind of God. Again, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that not true? And so he's wanting to bring restoration to them. So it has to be done. Everything that we do for the Lord has to be in tune or in concert with the will of God, so that we might not do it in the strength of the flesh. So he says, this is what I want you to do, and I'm going to tell you who he is. And in verse 4 he says, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake." So did he go? He went. He did it, didn't he? "And he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Comest thou peaceably?" Now listen, Samuel was the one that was fearful, was he not? But it's the people here that are fearful. Hey, are you coming here peaceably? So what does he say? Verse 5, "And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. So these are the two questions here. How long are you going to sit here? How can I go? God explains all of that. And now we're going to look at three truths. The first one is going to be concerning external, on the exterior, insight. And then the second truth is going to be concerning seeing the way God sees things. And then the last one is going to be hearing God's voice or his direction. Is that not important for your life and mine? Understanding external insight, seeing things as God sees them, will spare us a lot of heartache and misery. And also hearing God's voice and direction for our life will bring great joy and satisfaction and fulfillment that God intended for you and I to enjoy. So again, external insight. Look at verse 6 here. Now this is the man of God. He understood the working of the Spirit. He saw when the Spirit of God fell on King Saul and he prophesied with the prophets. Remember that? He watched God work. He was also able, led by the Lord as well, when God was speaking to him concerning Eli and his sons. And Eli said, oh, don't hide. Tell me what the Lord... Remember, he first thought it was Eli that was talking to him. God, so he experienced the communication of God directly. And God wants you and I to understand his direction as well. So verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, listen, surely, that means without a doubt, the Lord's anointed is before him. Speaking of God. I'm looking at this man, and surely the Lord's anointed is right there. All right? Verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. This is what he was looking at, and God was redirecting it. Don't look at his countenance. Don't look at the exteriors. Notice this. Or on the height of his stature. So he was not a slouch. Right, he was probably a young, strapping, tall guy that you would say, oh my goodness, another Saul. Well, that's the last thing God wants, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Oh, we need to be so mindful of that. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's important. The Lord looketh not. This is not what this means, okay? Ready? Well, I know my heart. Well, yeah, so does the Bible. And the Bible says that the human heart is desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? So be careful that you do not follow your heart. All right? That's a common theme. I won't tell you who the creator... Follow your heart. Everything is follow your heart. No, follow the Word of God. That won't mislead you. You follow your heart, you're going to wind up being misled. All right? You have to come to this place. You have to call upon the Lord to bring you to this place. Lord, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but I'm going to acknowledge you in every area of my life. So I don't want to be misled, Lord. I want to be found faithful when you return. And that is a possible thing because of the grace of God. And again, remember, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And so you can be found faithful by God's grace. So here we find that God says he looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. And that's an external insight. So here's Samuel. Now remember what he said? Did Samuel say, I think the next king's in front of me? I'm almost certain that this is him. Or did he say, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Surely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. This is a man of God who had been led by the Spirit of God that was moved with his own heart. And why did God do that? To allow him to see how easy it is for you and I to be misled. It's so easy to be misled. And so he learned a lesson here to stop. And wait upon the Lord for the direction. So that was the external insight that he experienced. Now we want to see as God sees. Verse 8. Now watch this. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Do you think he's got a little insight now? And by the way, how'd you like to be known as this? Neither has the Lord chosen this. Okay. And so he has some spiritual insight. Is he able to discern now the direction? Because he says, I learned something here. God does not look on the externals. You ever hear somebody say this? Oh, they'd be so good for the service of God. What? Listen, does God not take the weak things and the beggarly things to glorify himself? Stop looking at the externals. Oh, and they're so talented. This kills me. This is just a personal pet peeve with me. All right, this is extra biblical. This is not you can throw this out the window if you want to, but this I'm just going to tell you what kind of gets underneath my skin. All right, they talk about this person tragically being injured or killed or something like that, and they say, oh, and they were beautiful, the appearance. Oh, and they were so beautiful. I'm like, their soul is just as important. Whether they were externally, they were a living soul, one for whom Christ died for, regardless of their appearance. And so that's just, now listen, I will tell you this, I don't take it personally from that individual, but I just say, they're all every soul is equally as important in the eyes of God, because one soul, you could have taken the person that the world would consider the least attractive person in the world, Jesus Christ would have come and died for them. And did. So that's kind of my little pet peeve there when I hear, and I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that. You watch one of these crime stories and stuff like that, and they'll say at the end, oh, and they were so beautiful, and you know, they tell you all their talents, and I'm not trying to undermine that. But there's so much more value to a human being than the externals. And it's the soul that's of great value. And so, he says, neither has the Lord chosen this. Verse 9, then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And notice, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Isn't that amazing? Listen, don't miss this truth. Samuel was able, listen, to hear whether or not this was the one that God was choosing. He did not do that with Eliab, but what I'm trying for us to see, what God I think wants us to see, is that God allowed Samuel to understand with Eliab the difference. And what does that mean? That you and I as well, by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, can be able to discern between the natural and the spiritual. We can, because has not the Holy Spirit indwelt every believer? Oh boy, rough week. Wait, ready? Has not the Lord Jesus Christ indwelt every believer with the Holy Spirit? Amen. Okay, that's the truth. Now here's the question, why? Just for a place to hang out? Or did he intend for the Holy Spirit to do something in and for us? For the glory of God. In and through us, for the glory of God. And what was that? That we would be able to understand the Word of God. And if we understand the Word of God is the mind of God. So listen, this is the mind of God. And God just gave Samuel an understanding. So all these brothers passed by. He was able to discern. There's no interaction between him and God speaking to him. There is interaction between him and the Lord, because the Lord is revealing, and he's sensitive to that at this moment. And he's saying, none of these. And look how it worked. So where's Samuel left at? When you first read the story, didn't you come to this conclusion too? That there were no more sons. Samuel maybe is thinking, there's no more. Wait a minute. God, something's not adding up here. God said it's going to be from one of your sons. And aren't there any more? Because none of these have met God's credentials. So he said this, verse 10. Again, Jesse made even 7 sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? Did you get that? Now, wait a minute. Samuel could have been at the place where he said, wow, something's wrong. But he didn't do that. He figured this, ready? All of his children must not be here. You know why? Because God gave me direction and God never makes a mistake. So, Jesse, are here all your children? Because God never... You see the difference? He could have said, what went wrong? Does God ever make anything wrong? So that's why Samuel was able to stand, because he had understanding from the Lord. He just received a lesson, took it to heart, understood it, allowed the Lord to lead him into it. And so he said, none of these have been chosen. Hey, Jesse, are these all your sons? To get the right answer. So he said, again, verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You know what Samuel is suspecting already? This is him. Because he's the last one. That's not how it's working. But he's saying, listen, God never makes a mistake. God never makes a mistake. Verse 12. So we just saw seeing as God sees, and now we're going to hear God's voice or direction. So verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. And then he gives a description. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, listen, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Did God just speak to him? Do you think, listen, that's how God builds our faith. When he confirms things, but unless we prove him, unless we say, yes, Lord, I am willing to present myself. I want to experience you and your grace in my life. I'm willing to prove you so that I can see you work in my life. We'll never experience it. You've got to be willing. If God says go, you've got to be willing to go. If God says this is what I've created you to be, then you've got to bring it before him and say, God, make me what you said you've created me to be. But here's where we get stuck. Ready? We're like Samuel sitting down, dismayed, overwhelmed, because we can't do it. How long will you sit there looking at yourself and saying what a failure you are without looking at God and seeing what a success he can make us? How long will we sit here and say, I can't, when God says, go, I'll do it for you? That's always been the message. That's always been the message. Go out of Egypt. Go across the desert. Go and cross the sea. That's always been the message. But faith has always been the requirement. And that faith is interchangeable with trust. All right. So ready? So he says, arise, anoint him at the bottom of verse 12, for this is he, the last verse here. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Do you think Samuel was a happy man? Do you think he was a fulfilled man? Do you think he was a blessed man? And do you think what he saw of the life of David, do you think he saw God fulfilling his will? And he was, listen, all he was, listen, was an instrument in the hands of God to bring his will to pass, to bring God honor and glory. Guess what? You and I also are instruments. And we can be in the hands of God for his honor and glory if we'll just call on him. And he says, if you'll call on me, he didn't say, well, maybe I'll answer you. He said, I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you want to see that tonight? The invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. The understanding that you bring to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, I pray that you bless the rest of the evening as we gather together for prayer. And Lord, that you might be glorified. And Lord, that our lives would be empowered by your grace to glorify you and to find blessing and to experience your grace and mercy in and through our lives for your glory. And that we might truly be the light and the salt that you've called us to be. Bless the rest of the evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.